Let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Book of Genesis, chapter 3. Victim, villain, or victor? Genesis, chapter 3, verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Our three main characters are found in verses 14, 15, and 16. The villain is easy to find, the serpent, the most subtle of all beasts. The villain is one who wrongs another. The victim, we would say, probably from a traditional standpoint, is Eve. The one who is victimized by the villain. One who is wronged. And hidden in verse number 15 is that third and most important character, the victor. The one who overcomes the wrong. The future seed of the woman, Jesus Christ. Victim, villain, or victor? Which one are you this morning? When victim first came into English use, it was a true victim, someone who was hurt or tortured or killed by another. Today, it means one that is acted on and adversely affected by someone else or something else. We might speak of a victim of cancer. And it's because there is no direct connection between what people do and getting cancer. There are some that say, oh, I tell you what you can do to avoid cancer, but some of our healthiest individuals end up with cancer. We might speak of the victim of a car crash. Someone who was perhaps T-boned by another vehicle. A murder victim. Someone whose life is ended by another. In a less intense use, I would say someone along the lines of someone who is the victim of a con man. Someone who is taken in and lied to and deceived. They're victimized, not in the original use of the word, as in put to death, tortured, but they are adversely affected. There are victims, and then there are victims, because we live in a society today in which victims are glorified, and one of the reasons is because you can make money off of helping people who are victims. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's possible for people to make money off of going to another person and saying, you've got it really bad. In fact, it's worse than you even know. I'll help you. I'll help you get to where you want to go, but I need you to support me. And so sometimes because of the glorification of victimhood, we end up not really understanding what is a victim. There are real victims in this society today. Actual victims. Some have called them absolute victims. Now, it's commonly accepted that victims are innocent, but not all victims are completely innocent. However, there are absolute victims. Victims who are completely innocent of any wrongdoing. Someone that does not have the ability or power to protest or object against the crime in which they were targeted. The number one victim to me and that I think of in America is a child who is aborted. It is a true absolute victim. The child has no ability to even act autonomously in any sense whatsoever. They're not even breathing in that sense. And their life is taken away from them. And by the way, let me just encourage you. I know that there is some confusion occasionally in regards to this. When does life begin and so forth? God gives life. If I gave you all of the minerals that are contained in a human body, gave them to you in raw form, you could not make a human. You are incapable of making a human. So although the act that produces a life is very human, that very act was created by God himself. It is not possible for you to create a human, and therefore, it should not be possible for you to take the life of a human. Going even further than that, let me remind you that if you were to see a man beating up on a little girl, you would not stop to ask what her religion was before you decided to protect her. It's wrong of us to be unwilling to work together with other religions and faiths to protect the life of innocent people. To say, I can't because of that religion. In Nazi Germany, they asked a Lutheran pastor, why didn't someone speak up against Hitler? Why didn't someone say something? And they said, well, they came for the people who were infirm, for the mentally insane. They came for those who were unable to speak for themselves at all. They came for those in the hospitals, the sick. And then they came for the Jews. And they kept pressuring and pressuring. He said, by the time it got to us, there was nobody else to speak up. See, what happens is over time, if we're not careful, we disintegrate and dissect society so much so that I can't help that person because I must be better than that person. And if I help them, that means maybe we're more alike than we realize. This is what happens in our society. It's what's happening today. And true victims are being completely ignored. You do not have the right. You do not have the right to take the life of another human if you did not create that human. And don't think for a second that because you broke into God's laboratory and threw the switch that somehow you're responsible for what came out the other end. It was God's creation. Keep your hands off of God's creation. Do not kill humans. Shouldn't, it's pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Don't kill people. Well, they're Catholic, and we're not talking about their doctrine. We're talking about the taking of an innocent human life. It's wrong for anyone to do that. And at some point, folks, we're going to have to find something we can rally around. Because as Benjamin Franklin said, if we do not hang together, we most certainly will hang separately. Child molestation is another example of an absolute victim. It's a horrible, horrible disease that is sweeping our nation. There's things that are happening, and thank God someone stood up against Netflix most recently and said, we need to put a stop to child pedophilia. We need to put a stop to child pornography. We need to put a stop to the corruption. Someone needs to stand up and say, enough is enough. And if you're waiting for someone else, you're part of the problem. If you wouldn't let someone do that to your own child, you should not stand idly by while it's being done to someone else's child. I've watched hidden camera videos, and some of them are for humor's sake, and some of them are just downright sad, where people are being abused. And others stand by. And we live in a society in which tolerance is exalted as the number one virtue. And I'm here to tell you, tolerance is what allowed Hitler to take over Germany. People allowed him to do it. Even greater, they elected him to do it. What folks fail to realize in many cases is that everything Hitler did was legal. He did it through the court system because he appointed the court justices. He manufactured weird scenarios and situations to gain power. And someone must learn, we must learn as individuals to say, no, this is wrong, this should not be done. But we must beware of victim bias. The victims that I mentioned are two of the most agreed upon victims. Everyone would say, yes, absolutely a victim. There are others, so we could talk about that. But as we move away from children, as we get older, as we enter into the realm of personal autonomy and ownership of decisions and actions, we start having to ask who is a victim and who is not a victim. It's commonly accepted that a victim is innocent, but when the victimhood status is glorified, in our desire to protect the innocent, we start to lose objectivity. We wear lenses, and those lenses give us a bias. For instance, if you wear the male chauvinist lens, you will automatically believe that the man is the victim of the woman. And your bias is that women are manipulative, they're deadly, they're poisonous, they're bloodsuckers. And if you wear that lens, anytime there's a controversy between a man and a woman, you will always side with the man. Because your bias, your glasses that you are wearing, are coloring everything that you see. On the flip side, if you wear a feminist lens, you will automatically believe that in any case where there's a controversy between a man and a woman, the woman is the victim. She must be. She has to be. Why? May I say, it is not true. You're wearing a bias lens. We've seen this in recent, it's become more and more popular to say that every time a woman says I had a crime committed against me, she's automatically believed. It's not right to do that. It's not right to do that. Why? I've heard from someone who ran lie detector tests that over 70% of rape victims who were women were lying. Now, I'm not saying that you are lying. I am saying that that's what he told me after hundreds of lie detector tests. Why? It pays to be a victim in our society. There are many victims, don't get me wrong. But absolute victims are hard to come by. The bias that a feminist uses, the lens that she sees through, is that men are rude, obnoxious, primitive, power-hungry, and disgusting. Is that true about every man? It's not. Just as it's not true that every woman is manipulative and poisonous and blood-sucking. It's not true. But we live with biases. If you're not careful in your life, you will end up becoming a perpetual victim. The eternal victim. And you may end up wearing a bias when you think of yourself. It's a selfish bias that says, bad things happen to me, and they always will. I'm a victim. Perpetual victims are those who wallow in negativity and they force it on other people. They have three key beliefs. Bad things happen, and they're just going to keep happening. Other people and circumstances are to blame, and any of my efforts to change this fact will fail. So there's no point in even trying to change it. I am a victim. That's who I am. All these things are against me, is what Jacob said. Some of the signs of victim mentality are that not all people who claim to be victims are truly victims, because with perpetual victims, there's often a lack of accountability. The perpetual victim has already excused himself or herself from wrongdoing. They don't consider that I could be part of the problem. I could be contributing to this. What does a baby in the womb contribute to its abortion? Nothing. What does a child contribute to its molestation by an adult? Nothing. But it gets a little bit weirder and subtler as we get older. Why? Because as we grow older, we begin to sin on purpose. And so now it can be a little difficult to determine whether someone truly is a victim. And what our society says is, how dare you say that? Don't you realize that anyone who says they've been victimized is telling the truth? But the same liberal mindset that would say that is the same one that hated the concept of the Salem witch trials. There's no difference between the two. Someone in Salem, Massachusetts, and by the way, you need to read the history of what actually happened before you think you know. But someone would just say, I was victimized. And everyone would believe him or her. It's a terrible way to run a country. Why? Because everyone that is around me is potentially trying to hurt me. Potentially. I don't know who you are, but I know if you could, you'd kill me. You can't live around people like that. And believe me, no one wants to live around you. Accountability is a problem. Placing blame elsewhere, making excuses, reacting to all of life's obstacles with, it's not my fault. Not taking responsibility for your actions. And by the way, this is how you avoid being a perpetual victim. Take personal responsibility for yourself. So you lost your job. Do you mean to tell me that you had nothing to do with that whatsoever? I don't know, man. It's just like the good man can't get ahead. Why did he get promoted and you got fired? Well, he's just a bootlicker. That's it. That's all it is. He just sucks up to people. He don't care. See how you're excusing yourself? By the way, if you struggle with this, I would suggest you read a book called The Question Behind the Question. Great book. Instead of saying, why is everybody against me? Ask yourself the question, what could I do to make it so that not everybody is against me? What can I do about the fact that everything is terrible in my life? Ask another question. This is called Maturity 101. Realizing that you too are part of the problem. So your spouse divorced you. Of course, your spouse divorced you. But you contributed to the divorce. Very rarely is a divorce completely one-sided. And typically it involves matters of the heart. The heart, in some cases, goes towards following God and doing the best that it can to serve God. And another spouse says, I just can't put up with that. I'm not going to put up with that. It's wrong. I want you for myself. And by the way, marriage should be one man, one woman, one lifetime serving one God. And as that one person, the spouse on this side follows God, and that person on that side follows God, they get closer together. That's why it's been cliched, because it's true. It's so easy and simple. But it's difficult, isn't it? Why? You're living with another human. You've got to take personal responsibility. Otherwise, you cannot learn or grow from the experience. And guess what's going to happen? The same thing is going to happen again. You're going to be right back around. Didn't we already come here? Yes, you did. Can I tell you the reason why people get lost in the woods? Is because they do not go the direction they should go. They go the direction that it feels like they should go. We naturally, they say, wander in circles in the woods. Why? Because we all naturally lean one way or the other. Whether physically or mentally. We naturally do. And staying focused and following the direction that you should go and reaching your desired destination sometimes is a result of going against the way you feel and going the direction you ought to go. You know the reason why you got lost in the woods and kept seeing that same stump? Is because you felt like that's what you were supposed to do. You know the reason why you've always been a victim? Is because it feels like that's what you are. You have to go against the grain. Satan's master stroke in Genesis chapter 3 was painting Eve out to be a victim. We heard in Sunday school, if you missed Sunday school, you need to go back and listen to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 6. But here, Eve, who is co-owner of the universe at this time, at least the planet Earth, gets painted out in her own mind through a conversation to be a victim. She's not a victim in any sense of the word. She is the wife of the man who runs the place. And everyone knows, as we say jokingly, the husband is the head and the wife is the neck that turns the head. The truth of the matter is she's the help for him. Without him, he's helpless. Without her, he is helpless. That's what the Lord said. It is not good for the man. That does not mean he's stupid. It means he's not right. He's not balanced. He's not what he's supposed to be in God's eyes without his wife there. She is there to help him. She is not there to guide him in that sense. God is supposed to guide him. But she is there to help him do what God said for him to do. Sometimes it's difficult as husbands. We it's hard to lead. Sometimes you want to say, OK, what do you think? And many a time I've said, what do you think? What do you think? And then we're going somewhere. I'm going, this is not where I want to go. She says, you asked me what I think. Well, you should understand that when I say that, you're supposed to think like me and say what I would say. I didn't marry you to be different. I married you to be me. A prettier version of me. But me nonetheless. It's amazing, isn't it? We're going to talk in a couple of weeks at an institute about the godly husband and wife. We're going to talk about the concept of polarity. It's very important that you and your spouse are supposed to be different, and those differences can increase attraction. But when you spend the time trying to become what your spouse wants you to become and not being true to who God's made you, or you spend the time trying to make your spouse like you instead of allowing that person to be what God wanted, you're going to decrease the attractiveness. Don't you realize when you've taken God and made him your dog, he's not fun to be around. Why? God is not your dog. He controls you. Your spouse is not supposed to be another version of you. You're both supposed to be following the Lord together. That's another thing. We'll talk about it at the Institute, Lord willing. But notice, if you would, that Eve becomes this victim by means of Satan talking to her. Notice he says in verse number 5. He asks her about what God says. And then he says, verse 4, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God knows this. God knows this. Do you not know this? Are you not at the staff meetings with God? You don't get to hear what's actually going on? Because God knows this. I'm surprised he hasn't told you this, honestly. We all know this. You don't know. They haven't brought. It's interesting. Man, it's got to stink, kind of. How does that make you feel? That God knows this stuff that you don't know. Makes you wonder about God, doesn't it, a little bit? I mean, God's love and all, he's the creator and all, we love him and all that, worship and all. But he hasn't told you that? God hasn't let you in on his little secret? That's interesting. Be careful with people who resonate with your victimhood. They're not helping you. They're hurting you. Notice what it says here. The woman saw the tree was good for food. Wait a second. She knew that before. She had to have been able to infer logically that that tree was good for food. And it was also pleasant to the eyes. She could see that before. But this is a new thing. It was a tree to be desired to make one wise. You see, Satan was the original therapist. There are good therapists and there are bad therapists. Any therapist who makes you out to be the hero of the universe is not helping you. They're following the original therapist, Satan. Drawing her out, asking her questions. He encouraged her to see herself as a victim. He says, God's taking advantage of you. It's a classic example of a victim. It's always something happened to me that I can't control. It's unfair and it should never have happened. And it will define my life for the rest of time. The devil implied that Eve wasn't being told the whole truth by God. And notice, he did not say that. He implied it. Satan's good. He implied that she was intentionally being left in the dark and that she was being forcefully hindered from being her best self. She could have been her best self, but God doth know. You could have been so much further ahead if that had not happened to you. You would have been amazing. You would have been God. You would have been so perfect and powerful and amazing and not hindered by all this junk. If you would basically be God. Isn't that what Satan said? Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Let me ask you this. If you're as good as God, what are you? You're God. When someone tells you that you could have been so much further ahead if that had not happened to you, they're not helping you, they're hurting you. They're putting you in chains. I love to see in Black America what's happening. That Black Americans are standing and saying, I don't want to go back to slavery of the 1800s, and I don't want to be in slavery to other Black people today. That's the answer. Anyone that comes along and says, oh, you poor Black people, what happened 150 years ago, they're not helping them. They're hurting them. And by the way, they're not stupid. They know what's happening. In every case, you have a chance to encourage them to think for themselves, to stand up for their rights, and to stand for what is true, not what feels good, but what is true. They're actually following in the case of many of their forebears who stood and suffered for those things. The victimization of the Black culture is abominable. And I don't just mean that good people are taking advantage of them. I mean their own kind, their own race, their own culture are taking advantage of them in many cases. Let my people go is what they're standing up and saying. And I thank God for it. Anyone who makes you feel that you have been done wrong and deserve to special treatment is hurting you. Victims become for professional blame throwers. Adam, in a certain sense, was a victim of Eve. Adam did not talk to the serpent. Eve did. And Adam was placed with, he was given an impossible choice. Either take the fruit and stay with your wife, or don't take the fruit and say goodbye to him forever. The only other human in the world. Pretty difficult choice. In a sense, you can see how Adam was a victim. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy that Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived. She made a choice based on deception, but he knew what he was doing. And sometimes I've said, and I believe it's true, that he did wrong on purpose. Yes, but imagine the choice he was faced with. So Adam was a victim, but what did he do when God confronted him? He blamed Eve. Eve was a victim, so to speak, of Satan. If it hadn't been for Satan tempting her, she would not have taken the time and thought through this and said, you know why? It was new information she'd never... It was an earworm that wouldn't leave her alone. An earworm is something that burrows in your mind continually and says, I should be so much more. I could be so much more. I'd have more. We'd have a nicer house. My kids would be more behaved. I would be able to think more clearly. I wouldn't have to struggle with my weight. I wouldn't have so much problems with interpersonal relationships. It's an earworm that is never satisfied. I wouldn't have these struggles with anxiety and these problems. I wouldn't have this need. I wouldn't have this habit that's tearing me up. I wouldn't have these problems if it wasn't for someone else. It's an earworm. And I say to you, I think it's shaped kind of like Satan. And it's eating you up. Satan, however, was not a victim. He was not victimized by anyone. He did not claim to be. And so he did not shift the blame. When God pointed to Satan and said, you're cursed, Satan didn't say, yeah, but because he knew, didn't he? And that leads us to our second point, which is villain, the one who does wrong. the one who intentionally wrongs others. Here we have Satan. Satan is the original villain. He has no reason to be bad, but he is. The Bible tells us that God is love. Not that God loves. We are told other places that God loves, but we're told explicitly that God is love. May I say, though the scripture does not say it, you can bear it out through study, that Satan is hate. He is sin. And therefore he hates. Therefore he is proud. Evil has no justification and needs none. It just is. Evil is. And by the way, it never will stop being until God comes down and removes it. There's nothing that mankind can do to remove evil from the human heart. You don't build a new utopia and keep evil out. Remember, the Garden of Eden is where the sin started. Why? The problem is the human heart. It's not the environment. It's not the place in which a person lives. It's not the family to which they were born. It is the human heart. The real victim in this situation is God. God rightfully blamed Adam because it was his law that was broken. The villains included not only the serpent, but also Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve in turn victimized their own sons, Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, in turn, would become villains in their own right. Both of them were required to offer a sacrifice. And what happened is that Abel then victimized his own brother Abel because he felt that he was victimized by God. While it is true that every single person here today is a victim of someone else's sin, no question about it. Why? If you've been around a human, you've been sinned against. It may be that you have been victimized greatly by the person sitting right next to you. I would not move. I would not bat an eye right now. Just stare ahead. Breathe in and out. Don't breathe any more or any less. Just keep what you've been doing. No one needs to know. We're all victimized by people. What happened to you was wrong. Just like what happened to the person next to you. And the person in front of you and the person behind you. You are not the ultimate victim. There's no reason to glorify humans who intentionally chose to sin. There's no reason to glorify their victimization. Now listen. On a soft tone, as soft as I can be, I'm not saying that what happened to you was right. It was wrong. It hurt. That person sinned against you, and they sinned against God. Please hear me when I say, what happened to you was wrong. But may I say to you something that you already know in your heart, but perhaps have not been willing to admit. You are, at the same time, a villain. Yes, you've been victimized, but you have victimized others. You have taken advantage, and in some cases, because of the fact that you were victimized, you have victimized other people. It's very common. Very common. Why do you smack your kids around in the face, constantly push them around and shove them? I would venture a guess because that's what happened to you. And in your mind, that's what you do when you're frustrated. Why do you yell curse words at your spouse when you're mad? I would venture a guess that perhaps that's what you heard growing up. Now listen, don't you understand that we can go all the way back and blame, and it's exactly what happened. God said, Adam, you did wrong. Well, Eve, you did wrong. Well, the serpent. At least have the character of Satan to not blame others for your sin. Can't you at least have enough character like Satan does, that much character, and say it stops here? Now, the difference is Satan started everything. You didn't start everything. You received it. Child's aborted, didn't do anything. But it's very important for us to remember that we, while being victimized by others, are also perpetrators of sin by our own choice. I'd like for you to go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Now, for some of you have known that for many years. Some of you are just now learning that. We need to always remember that, church. There's people around us that do not know the Bible. It's important. We want them here and we want to help them learn. Somebody showed you. Somebody showed you. So we're in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, a grave. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Notice, it's hiding. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You see, being sinned against does not make you perpetually innocent of all wrongdoing. You can't use that as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Someone did wrong to you. That does not mean that what you are doing is no longer wrong. That's what makes it so tough when you're raising kids. You have to teach them that, yes, it was wrong what you did to her, but what you did back to her or to him is just as wrong. Both of you are wrong. There are occasions in which the victim becomes the villain. It's not unheard of for a prisoner of war having gone through torture that's unmentionable. We'll turn around and begin to side with and help out the enemy and ostracize and in some cases begin to torture other prisoners. It's a horrible, horrible thing. The victim becomes the villain. And often that's what happens in our own life. But if the devil can't get you to see yourself as a perpetual victim, he will switch tactics. He is not afraid. He is not too embarrassed to change. He will switch tactics with you. If you are not a perpetual victim, if you don't see yourself at the mercy of others' decisions, if you don't find yourself feeling sorry, if you take personal ownership, he will go to the other extreme and he will do something that's a little less common, at least it's very much less talked about in our culture. He will cast you in your own mind as the perpetual villain. By the way, the Lord does not browbeat the sinner. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, he did not come to them and say, how could you? He did not yell at them and throw things at them. When God gets mad and starts yelling and throwing things, you better look out. But he didn't. He punished them. He was just and he said, this was wrong what you did and here's your punishment. But the devil will make some of us into perpetual villains. We will go from one extreme that says, I own my life, I own my own responsibilities, but we'll get pushed into the corner that says, I'll never be able to do anything for God. I'll never be able to have any rest because I know who I am. I know what I've done. And the devil has put an earworm in your head. And it does nothing but eat you up constantly. Says, you can't, you can't. You're worthless, you're hopeless, you're stupid, you're wicked, you're vile. No matter what you try to do, it's always there and it holds you back. I am not offering to see yourself as a villain as an antidote to seeing yourself as a victim. The truth of the matter is you're both. You're both. The victim must own that what was done was wrong. And the villain must own that what they did was wrong, but it must not stop there. While it is true that when a person reaches the age of accountability, that person has become both victim and villain. Why? When does a person become a sinner that can be held accountable for being a sinner? When that person knows that what they are doing is wrong. They know that it's wrong, but they want to do it anyhow, and they choose to make that choice. That's why it's common, it's connected with an awareness of what's going on. That's why they say the age of accountability is many cases, roughly the time when a child realizes that he or she is naked and they're ashamed of their nakedness. That certainly was the case in Genesis chapter 3. When they sinned, they knew that they were naked. Before, they didn't know it. They weren't ashamed. When that shame begins to come into a person's life, while they may have been victimized well before that, they are now a villain. Why? They know what God says, and they chose to say, I don't care what God says, I want to do what I want to do. But the third and final point this morning is this. God wants you and I to leave victim and villain behind and become a victor. Become a victor. And some of you perpetual villains just heard, yeah, right, in your head. You heard, it's not for me. And some of you victims said, I already am a victor. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. What is a victor? Victor is one who overcomes the wrong, who gets past the wrong. Not one who trades being wronged for wronging others. No, one who leaves behind being wronged and leaves behind wronging others to overcome wrong itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Speaking of God the Father and God the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Notice the victim right in the middle, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was a victim of our sin. There's no question about it. We sinned against him. God is the victim. But I want you to see that God went further than anyone could or ever has. God became the villain. Jesus Christ became the villain. Notice, he hath made him to be sin. Jesus Christ was not just the victim on the cross. He was the one who committed the crime. He was the perpetrator. He was the criminal. He was assigned to death because he deserved it. That's how God judged his son. Oh, Christian, never make the mistake of thinking that what happened to Jesus Christ was just he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, he chose to be there as a victim, and he chose to take the cup of sin that was basically saying, I am worthy of all the judgment that my Father can pass out. I am worthy, having done nothing wrong ever. The only true absolute victim to ever have existed is Jesus Christ. And he was the one who was treated as the worst possible criminal. He took on all of the villainy of every human being. Unfathomable. And this is why he then goes on to say that he, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The victim became the villain so that we might become victors. True victory is not finding out that you are a victim. It's not victory at all. In fact, it's a cycle. It's never ending. It's interminable. It's infinity when you're a victim. True victory, by the way, is not simply accepting the fact that you are a villain. That's not victory at all. Again, it's infinity. It's who you are supposed to be. It's why you're here. You're a bad person. Period. Deal with it. And by the way, it's just as self-righteous. It's just as self-righteous as any victim to say that I am perpetually a bad person. That's what I do. That's how I live. Why? Because you no longer have your own righteousness. You have been given righteousness, not based on what you have done for God or how you have humbled yourself and beaten yourself up. You can't gain righteousness by putting yourself down. You can't gain righteousness by putting somebody else down. Righteousness, the righteousness of God is a gift from God, period. It doesn't cost you anything. Why? You couldn't pay it if you wanted to. Why should God put a price tag on it when you can't even afford it? There's not enough money in the universe to afford the righteousness of God. And so that's why it must be, if it's going to come to us, it's going to have to be a gift.
The Bible tells us that he who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. A victor is one who accepts that the wrong done to them and the wrong done by them has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 8 as we close. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Sounds like a victim to me. You say, yeah, I'm the one that's doing that stuff. Sounds like a victory. He said, nay, in all these things, not despite all these things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Do you find your own victimization in there? Do you find your problem in there? Do you find your past circumstances in there? That's a lot of stuff. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature. It's in there somewhere, my friends. None of those things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ is the answer. In Christ, my friends. Did your dad do something to you that destroyed your life? In Christ is the answer. Did your mother say something to you? Did your spouse say something to you? Has your child said something to you that has wounded you and hurt you? Have you been the one on the other side? And now you hate yourself. Now you've destroyed the relationship. Now you've burned your house down metaphorically because you have done it and you know that. My friends, the answer is the same. The answer is the same for both the victim and for the villain. It's found in the victor, Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God is given to you. You go to your bank, you ruined yesterday. You go to your bank, you spent all your money yesterday. You go to your bank this morning, and there's more there. You ruined everything yesterday. You spent it on drugs and alcohol. You spent it on gambling. You ruined people's lives. You used it in a nefarious way to hurt people. And you go to your bank, and the righteousness of God is just as big as it ever was. And you say, how can it be? How can it be? God says, let me show you how to take care of being a victim. Let me show you how to take care of the villainy that's pervaded the human heart since day one. I'm going to come down and I'm going to be that villain and I'm going to pay. You don't have to pay. You don't have to make other people pay. Jesus already paid. He paid it all. How can you forgive that person? How can you forgive? They need to pay. Practically speaking, there are steps that need to be taken. But in your soul, you need to know this. Jesus Christ paid for what they did. Jesus Christ paid for what I did to other people. My victory today is not found in being a perpetual victim and telling everybody that I get a chance to meet why my life is so messed up. Neither is it to drag my ears on the ground like Eeyore for the rest of my life, because I'll never forget. If I could go back and do that over again, I ruined my life. I ruined their lives. Both of them are empty infinity pools that go on forever. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ can give you salvation, not based on going to church, not based on trying to turn your life around and take ownership. It's not based on retribution for your wrongs. It's based on a gift that you know you're not worthy of. If you'll accept it, he'll give it to you. Christians, are you more focused on your wretchedness or Christ's righteousness? God does not intend for you to see yourself as a victim. God is not the one who is constantly condemning you for being a villain. Sinner, Christian, have you received the righteousness of sins, the righteousness of God, the forgiveness of sins that's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ? Christian, this is not just for unsaved people. This is for us. The problems that you have in your heart right now, the things that you blame on others, or the things that you blame on yourself, have been paid for by Christ. You can receive forgiveness of sins. You can receive peace with God today. Would you bow your heads in prayer? I'd like to ask you this morning, if you're here this morning and you do not have that peace with God, in your own heart you'd say, I lack that peace. I'm struggling. I'm fighting. I need peace with God. I see myself as a victim. Or I see myself as a perpetual villain, the bad guy. I need prayer. Would you raise your hand with me? Anyone like that this morning like to raise their hand? See, I'm asking you this morning this question because I know you're out there. I know what the devil does. And the devil's going to do the same thing with you that he does with me. He's going to keep you from God by hook or by crook. He'll turn you into someone who can't own their responsibility for their lives, and you're the one that everything bad happens to, and you're stuck. You're stuck. Or he may switch and say, you're bad, you're bad, and you take ownership for more than you should, and you're stuck. The only answer is not just becoming a better person. No, the answer is found in recognizing that God loves you. God wants to make you a new person. He wants you to be born again. I am crucified with Christ. Me, the victim. Me, the villain. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me.